Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman, and the permanently baffled Mr. Newbie. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves of what happened last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
This week was brought to you by people who were fervently wishing they hadn't gone to the house they'd ended up in. And also, when I listened to the omnibus this week, the tree surgeons were trotting about with chainsaws right outside my window, so I may well have misheard quite a lot of it, so please forgive me in advance. In between Harriet's washing machine and my chainsaws, we don't stand much of a chance. We began the week with Jazza and Ed drinking lemonade and lashings of hard-boiled eggs and whinging about how old they both are. I thought they'd only just started the shearing malarkey, but they were both talking about it as if they'd been doing it since Noah was a boy.
Yes.
Doesn't time fly when you're fighting with a hot cross sheep? At one stage, Ed asked someone to get Eli, and I could have sworn he called Maureen, but that could well have been the chainsaws. Maureen seems an unlikely name for a shearer. Anyway, Jazza is hanging up his clippers. He was sad about it, as he said it had been good crack, which was an unwise thing to say in front of Ed, really, as it might have stirred up a few happy memories, but Ed let it slip. Jazza has decided to adopt a new, mature persona and wants to stop wrestling with the sheep in favour of wrestling with Tracy on a bank holiday Monday. Maybe Maureen could step into the breach. Over at Carza Slave Driver, Henry wanted Lee to show him his paradiddle. Very inappropriate, I thought. And Helen appears to be pimping Lee out to Joy. I haven't quite got to grips with Beechwood in my head yet. I'm not even that sure where it is. You know when you drive past a muddy field and there's a big sign up with a sort of watercolory looking picture of little executive boxes all with tarmac drives and very clean looking children riding bikes? Well, that's what I think Beechwood is, all blurry and watercolory. But apparently, Eustace, Marilyn, Bernadette and Wesley all live there. That's amazing. Do they go to the shop? The pub? Who are these people? The village needs a Wesley, I feel. But meanwhile, back at Carza Slave Driver, Joy was perched on the sofa showing a little bit too much thigh and Helen was getting primmer and crosser. There's a Beechwood WhatsApp group who very sensibly have boycotted Helen and Lee. Helen doesn't like WhatsApp as it's frivolous and she prefers to handwrite scented notelets. Lee loves WhatsApp and is the sort of person who is a nightmare on WhatsApp groups as he just talks about whatever he wants to talk about regardless of the purpose of the group and will dig up all the old funny videos that have been kicking around since 1996 and sending them all at once. Every message would have at least 7 entirely irrelevant emojis: little teapot, happy face, pouring rain, vomiting face. However, Lee seems to have found his soulmate with Joy, who I suspect is another serial emojier, and by the end of their 2 bottles of wine, was beginning to realise he'd moved into entirely the wrong house in Beechwood. He would have been so much happier with Joy rather than miserable old twitchy Helen, the mute and the psycho. Him and Joy could have sat on the sofa every night watching Marvel films, eating Cross and Blackwell chili con carne and drinking Malibu and Coke, and then having special cuddles with her in her Wonder Woman outfit. As it is, he has to watch repeats of Spring Watch, with Helen making him close his eyes during the mating bits. Mia leapt out of a hedge to ambush Rory as he moved in with the Chuckle Brothers. Mia is an excellent portrayal of an earnest teenager, as she is completely adorable and also strangleable at the same time. Yes. Mia was despairing about the state of the world. "There's so much more to do," said Mia. "I handed my project in and nothing's changed. The climate's still getting warmer. It's rubbish. I thought at least China would have rung up." Guess what? Adam was miserable at the prospect of Rory moving in. Adam is now pausing before he speaks for so long it's like listening to early Harold Pinter. Rory hadn't even unpacked his vintage Kate Bush vinyl before Ian was earwigging on Rory's private telephone conversations. Ian and Adam appeared to be having a chat in the shower about whether or not Rory might be gay. Oh, you two. Rory is not worried or scared. He is fabulous. Stay away from him, Adam, you Debbie Downer. There was a bit of an orcs convo over dinner in which Rory said, "That was delicious, Ian. Thank you." "That's all right," said Ian. "Was it gay enough for you?" said Adam. Jazza and Tracy went off for a picnic to Foundwich, or possibly Sandwich. The tree people had started up again. It didn't go well, as they had a massive row, and then there was a sitcom storm with lots of rumbling thunder and hosing rain, and Eddie arrived to take Tracy home in the Prosecco sick limo. What the hell was all that about? I tell you, it was a way of cheering us up before we crossed over to The Nest for the next performance of Hedda Gargler by Alice. This time she'd been to the pub and brought home two bottles of Cloudy Bay and Calvin Klein. Which pub? Surely the Bull wouldn't serve her. Had she driven? We need to know. Anyway, Jenny Darling was horrified to come home and find Alice on the sofa with Calvin in his tighty whities and got a bit tight-lipped and actually called Brian round so he could witness Alice in all her slurry ice queen glory. The whole time they were giving the Aldridge family dirty laundry a good old airing, poor old Calvin Klein was struggling to get out of this psychodrama hellhole he'd inadvertently walked into. But by then he was so traumatised he couldn't work the door. So by the time Alice was spitting about Siobhan, he was in the fetal position in the corner with his hands over his ears. Well then, Calvin Klein, let that be a lesson to you. Just because a woman looks like an Instagram influencer astrophysicist wedding planning party girl doesn't mean she's not a total disaster. The end.
Oh my God. I've actually forgotten like most of this week. But now it was half of it was sort of gentle, sensitive loveliness. And the other half was just hilarious, sort of like caricature.
With a slapstick funniness. Melodrama and yeah.
Because my highlight was the Adam and Eve. I was practically crying at the end of that episode because it was just so... Adam is, I mean, he's extraordinary, isn't he? And you're totally right. Why were they literally... Ian was like, Rory's just come in and I've just been listening to him on the phone. Is that...
Oh, that's nice. Charming.
Oh, yeah, poor Rory. His privacy is immediately invaded. And then you just jump to massive, massive conclusions. How do you also, like, how did you know that Troy yeah. could have been yeah. a girl or yeah. a non-gender
Well, let's face it, these
specific.
Days, you don't know. You don't know, do you?
But also, and even if he is flirting, I mean, it was like... Oh my God. But it was so funny. It was so, I actually thought it was great because I was like, I was so sort of like cringing and thinking this is so embarrassing. But then because Rory was so heroic and yeah. sweet about it, it made it all really funny.
And he was nice. I mean, he said to add, he's sort of like, yeah, all right. Yeah, I get what you're trying to do and thanks. But at the same
yeah,
time...
but you were right. It was literally yeah. like, delicious. Yeah, so Rose, when I was a boy and thought soup was delicious, it basically meant I was gay. Are you gay? Because he just cannot have a sensitive conversation.
He can't have a conversation. He can't talk about anything without making it sound like he's about to kill the person
it's
he's
so
talking
so threatening.
To.
Exactly. Poor Rory. He was like, what would you prefer? Yes.
I could be
no.
gay if you'd like. I don't mind.
Don't mind us roars. And even Ian, Adam's sort of aggressiveness has really rubbed off on Ian as well, because yeah. even Ian was like piling in on it, wasn't he?
And now they're like just this permanently grim-faced, furious couple about everything.
And then I was like, Adam is gutted that Rory's totally fine about yeah, his sexuality and not having any problems.
No drama,
Adam's like, it's what always me. Nobody understands how I felt. But you're so right about his pauses. I think they probably have to add extra time into an Adam episode, don't you?
Well, maybe if they haven't got much else happening, they just think, oh, let's just give Adam a 10-minute bit. That'll do 14. That's fine.
Maybe just Ian has to actually talk even faster whenever he's in a scene with Adam. Maybe they're sort of... you know, the producer's like, okay, 10 more seconds, Adam, because like Ian's talk so fast.
You could just squeeze in a goodbye, Adam. Ready?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. But that was literally right. That I loved that episode. I listened to it about 3 times, which just really made me laugh. And Rory has, I mean, Rory has turned into my
hero. He is.
Oh my gosh, he's blossomed into this stunning, calm and normal person who's really natural and nice to listen to.
Someone said on Twitter, it's amazing that the best member of the Aldridge family was born on the wrong side of the blanket.
But you just blame the genes.
And probably because Brian was too old by the time Rory came along to actually set a terribly bad example, because since then Brian's tried to keep on the straight and narrow, hasn't he? That was sort of his swan song. So poor Rory, despite an appalling start, has actually had probably the best experience of Brian of any of them, really.
Yeah, but he was also sent to boarding school, so he didn't have to live with them.
Yes, obviously. Yeah, I've forgotten that.
That's why he's done well. He didn't have to live with his awful parents.
What did you think about poor old Calvin unwittingly?
Can
you imagine?
God.
Have you ever been in? I don't think it's ever happened to me, but you know when you're with people and they suddenly start a massive row and you think, do I go? Do I?
Yes.
I can see your time.
He really, really wanted to go. I know. And she was like, Alice was like, no, don't
go. Down.
Okay. I'll just make myself look even smaller. I found what time of day was that? Because that's what confused me. When I heard it, I was like, oh, okay, it's the middle of the night and she's been out all night. But then it wasn't during the night, because then we cut to Will and Mia.
Yeah.
Will said it was the evening. So had Alice been out in the afternoon? It was confusing, wasn't it? Because what is going on?
Like, and also, where had Jenny been and which pub had Alice been to?
Because I thought Alice was being house sat, basically. Yes. I thought someone was sort of guarding her day and night to make sure she didn't.
Poor old Jenny's allowed out.
No, Lucy, she should have got cover. But that's what's. You sort of want to know what's going on. Like, is Alice drinking every day? Where's she getting her booze from? Because they're not making her go cold turkey, obviously, because she's not able to do that.
She didn't sound awfully cold turkey.
Also, exactly. But then she didn't sound particularly drunk either, except when she did her aggressive, Alice, like, Brian. Because she was being perfectly nice with Calvin. I actually thought, just leave her with Calvin. He sounds like a really nice guy. He'll just probably not want to snog her anyway because she's got smelly breath or something. But he might just, you know, be a good, actually calming influence.
But he sounded about 19 to me. But Alice sounded, when she was saying she couldn't get her key in the lock, I was thinking, you sound all right. Why can't you get your key in the lock? What's wrong with you? And then all of a sudden she sort of ramped it up again when Jennifer came
home. Because she does the angry bits. Mm. But you know what? I was actually like, you know, because she sort of turns into that monstrous character. And I'm always, it's quite hard to listen to. As the listener, it's quite difficult, isn't it? Because you're like, ugh.
But at the same time, I was rubbing my hands and thinking, you tell her, tell Brian exactly what a shit he is.
Why are they always obsessing about marriage vows? Why are they not obsessing about the fact that she has a daughter? Yeah. And where's the blooming social worker?
Yeah.
Presumably the social worker is brokering. I just can't believe that if you're the social worker, you go around and they go, oh, it's okay, Chris is looking after Martha and Alice has decided she doesn't want anything to do with the baby. Mm. Wouldn't you be like, well, might it be in the baby's interest for the mother to have some access?
The social services are so, I think in real life, social services are so overworked that as long as the baby is safe and well cared for and with people that, you know, that's just years and years of therapy afterwards, isn't it? Trying to figure that lot out. But at the time, it's just, is the baby safe? Is the baby being looked after by, I was going to say family, but not necessarily, but people that love it. And, you know, well, then that's fine. And then they go on.
But Alice is not getting any help.
No.
And nobody's thinking about her. I mean, I just find the complete break with Martha. Mm. I know why Alice has done a complete break with Martha, but I don't know. You'd sort of imagine in her sober moments, she might feel the pull of Chris and the baby again.
But we don't know how many sober moments she has.
No.
And also, she's trying to protect Martha from her, isn't she?
Yeah. But I'm reading, I have to read it like periodically because it's so intense. But there's this book called Shuggy Bain, and it won the Booker Prize a couple of years ago. Mm. It's set in Glasgow in the 80s. And he basically lives with his alcoholic mother and in really terrible circumstances. But she is like Alice when Alice is drunk, this real grotesque character. But she often sort of like rejects her children. But then the contrast is she has the flip side, which is when she literally can't stop holding them. You know, it's such a difficult read. Mm. But it really shows the sort of contrasting, the awful roller coaster of. Mm. Oh, and the the intensity of living with an alcoholic and has no, it's that awful thing of, like Jenny said, Alice is completely out of control. Mm. It's like she's been taken over, hasn't it? And her old self has just disappeared down some terrible hole.
Yeah. Talking of terrible holes, what did you...
Back to Joy.
Do you think that they're not allowed on the WhatsApp group because they will see messages about Helen?
Yes. It must be that there's been some chat about Helen and Rob.
Because Helen didn't push it. And I think she thought Helen realised possibly why.
Well, but then also the thing is, if you join a WhatsApp group, you actually can't see any of the messages that have come before. If you're new to the group, Joy doesn't know that. But it must be they've been like, that murderer, that stabber has moved in.
Because Helen sort of went a bit quiet and then said, it doesn't matter. We don't want to be on our
own. I didn't think that she went quiet because she suspected.
She went quiet because people were having fun and that makes her really uncomfortable.
Yes, exactly. And especially as Lee hadn't wanted. But this is like every time somebody invites Lee round, somebody invites Joy round, they all go, oh no. And then Joy always ends up being life and soul and they all have a jolly good time.
Yes.
It was like with Pat and Tony.
To sum up, we loved Adam and Ian and Rua Ree for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I did think Mia was really good.
Oh, sweet. Again,
she's heartbroken and she went, as if. Yeah. Like I fancied you. But Rory was again quite sensitive and said,
Yes.
I really like you, but not. Yeah. And he could have made that really awkward and he didn't.
Yes, exactly. That again, he showed his excellence. And then Will was a revelation.
Yep.
For the first time ever.
Yeah.
Although, it's a bit weird that no one's ever like, but I actually felt, because I find, Mia is all her sort of like plastic stuff is like really annoying, as you're saying. But then when you remember that she doesn't have a mummy, it's awful, and you think that heartbreak.
Yeah.
And she's got her other dad, hasn't she? But she's got Will. And it just really like breaks my heart to think of, because imagine how lovely, Becky, what's her character called? Nick would have been with Mia then. Yeah. It made me really sad that her mum wasn't there. And I was a bit sad that Will didn't sort of, like, I don't know, like mention
her
mum.
Did say your mum would have been really proud of you too.
Yeah, I suppose. For having
the bravery to tell him.
Yeah, but when he was like, what's up, Mia? He didn't go, he said like, was it your exams or whatever, or a boy? He didn't go, are you just really missing your mum? It's only been 2 years. God's sake. And she was like, you got heartbroken, didn't you, when mum died? And he was like, nah, it's not really the same. I'm over that.
Have a cup of tea and a bit of a sit down. Bye. She can't really trust Emma because she's seen Emma be so bloody volatile. I don't know whether you'd ever really completely trust that Emma was going to be on your side without
having
some violent personal opinion that would then catapult you into the middle of a row. I think that's what I'd be worrying about.
And she can trust Will because he totally loved her mum.
Mm.
So he is family, isn't she?
Jazza, what's the idea of Jazza stopping the shearing? Oh, is it because we're going to have George do it? And then we'll get to meet George. Do you think?
Have we heard George? Have we ever heard George?
Mr. Newby was asking that.
Yeah. No, we have.
When he was little, we did.
Yeah, 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 yeah. George.
Yeah.
George, when they used to call him George, do you remember? Never call him George anymore. He was little. We never heard him as a grown-up. No. So maybe he'll become the sheep shearer.
Yeah.
You know, like Chris is the blacksmith and Ed's just the
I like the way Ed generic. Got all indignant and said, just because he wants to go into agriculture doesn't mean he wants to be a sheep shearer. And I thought, well, it kind of does because, you know.
This week they had a credit for, as they always should, agricultural advisor.
Hmm.
But I was thinking, that poor agricultural advisor hasn't had any work to do for like 2 months. I mean, hopefully she's just sort of on a retainer. But she doesn't have to do much.
Not really.
I think that's why they like mentioning
aquaponics. Maybe she's mugging up on alcoholism as well, just to guess that.
Alcoholic advisor this week.
We've had some emails.
Oh,
one from your crush.
Ooh. Oh, that sexy guy in
Tom Peach.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing? You're hanging out on the beach today.
I'll tell you what, though.
Oh, yeah.
You can always tell because his opening sentence mentions his wife. So I think, Harriet, we're being given the brush off.
Whatever, Tom. I wasn't interested anyway, actually. I don't need a boyfriend in Australia.
As if.
Yeah, as if, yeah. Oh, I just wanted to be friends and talk to you about my recycling projects, actually. I just wanted you to count some plastic for me on the beach.
Dear ladies, he says, Mrs. Peach and I, Mrs. Peach and I, have a theory about Lee. Lee is Tony. Figurines equals trains, incompetence with cows equals incompetence with decorating, general henpecked wet nature equals general henpecked wet nature. Helen is living with her father. Lots of love, have a good one. Tom, P.S. it is winter here, so too cold for budgie smugglers, but log fires on the beach and fine red wine are in season.
Oh,
see below
God.
For the view as I'm listening to Jazza decide he's too mature for sheeps. And he sent me a lovely picture of the beach.
Oh, is it lovely?
It's
Am I going to cry?
Nice.
Oh,
Mr. Tom Peach and wife, can I just say that it is allegedly summer here and I am looking out on a rain-drenched dark green garden where every single petal has been bashed off the flowers by the pelting rain. So don't send me beautiful pictures of the beach and say, it's winter here, because I will fly over there and bash your head in.
What an amazing life they have. They're having log fires and red wine on the beach.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mr. and Mrs. Peach on the beach.
Can we come and see you? Peach on the beach.
Want to reach out to you and say you're the best couple in the world.
Reach out to Peach on the beach. And Julie Bacon said, Dear Lucy, Harriet, Mr. Newby, thanks so much for your continuing excellent work. I'm turning into Ian. I'm getting faster and faster. Blah, blah, blah. It's one of the highlights of my week, she says. Julie, you need to get a better week. Anyway, Thursday.
You need to meet Mr. Peach. Bacon and Peach.
Oh, yeah, that's quite good. Thursday's episode.
In fact, Lucy, have you just made all these people up?
Well,
I think these are just all out of happy families.
It's interesting that they're all food, and I am quite hungry. Anyway.
Yeah.
Julie Bacon says, Thursday's this week was a stunner. That was the Alice going all.
Oh, yes.
Okay. With amazing skill and economy, the writers succeeded in so many ways. They showed us the true extent of Alice's illness. Yeah. They showed us Jenny's initial naive gung-ho, we can beat this attitude, crumbling in the face of the reality. Yep. Brian confronted with the daughter he really has instead of the fantasy version he's constructed in his mind. Mm. Yes. And in the hapless Calvin, they showed us how easy it is for people to get sucked into situations way beyond their experience or understanding. She said, there is no way the Ambridge Fairy is magically going to resolve things in super quick time.
No. That is sad.
Although I would give good money for the Ambridge Fairy to come along. And I promise I will never, ever laugh again about abrupt endings to quite savage storylines if you just make this one go away.
It's like scary. Anyway.
And Bernie McGuire said, Adam would be as good a psychotherapist as Shula would be a vicar. Empathy seriously lacking in both cases. That's absolutely right. Yes. Yeah. Just. Adam's idea was just to go, well, this is what it was like for me. And Rory's going, but it isn't like that for me. No, Adam, is it? I'm not. Adam, no, it's. Okay. No, all right. No, tell me about you. It's fine. It's fine. We'll just go with you. Stupid idiot. And thank you very, very much. I know Ryan Dotson was one, but thank you very much for people who've sent us money on Acast. You are very, very lovely.
That is so nice.
I know.
Why have they sent us money, Lucy?
Because they love us and they know that this is quite a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, it is you. Can I just say, it's you what does the work. I just turn up and do chatting. But you do all the
But you do chatting in
work.
The different voices. And I can't do the different voices. So it would be me chatting to myself in one voice, which would be quite boring to listen to.
But you do a lot of admin and all the admin costs. So thank you. And thank you to people. That's so kind of people to support us.
So much. It really means a lot. And also, and it sort of means that we know that people are listening and that they like what we're doing.
Encouraging. And one day we're just going to get an advert on.
Yeah.
This will just be interrupted by hi, I just want to tell you about the new Audi. It goes smooth as a Lee's bum, you know, something like that. No, only because you know when you're listening to a podcast and they're just in the middle of a... And then it cuts to an advert, doesn't it?
Well, we've had this conversation before, but my favourite ones are I listen to all these really grim Australian or New Zealand podcast murder things.
It's Mr. Beach in them.
And they go, but there's one guy that's got a terrible voice. And he says, the entire wall was covered with blood. Are you looking for a new mattress? I think, well, I am now, yeah. Bloody hell. This is just the most wildly inappropriate adverts just pop up.
I love that so much. Oh.
Or when the presenter has to sort of half-heartedly pretend that they've tried, whatever it is. I have to say, my dog would never eat normal dog biscuits. And then this came along and he just loves it.
Mm. Wow, Lucy, you make me laugh so much. It's such a relief I'm wearing my tenor lady.
Wait, tenor lady.
Only $4.99 a pack, Lucy, on special offer now. Anyway, back to Alice.
Well, let's not give them a free plug because I've offered them this podcast to sponsor. Not a tinkle from Tenor Lady.
Not a tinkle. Tenor Lady.
Shall we now segue?
Other sanitary brands are available.
Shall we now segue neatly from tinkling to Mr. Newbie?
Well, if you like. Yes.
We start this week with Jazza and Ed out in the fields shearing sheep and drinking lemonade because Jazza does literally all the jobs, apparently. He's complaining about time moving on, which makes me wonder if he's even noticed this sodding pandemic, because for me the clock hasn't so much as ticked for months. Anyway, I've now listened to this section 3 times and I'm still no closer to understanding what it's supposed to be telling us. Oh no, here comes the payoff, just 2 minutes later. Jazza's been doing a lot of thinking, which is rarely a good thing, but Ed's right. It does sound like Jazza's ready to settle down with Tracy and, if you'll allow me to paraphrase him slightly, stop bonking barmaids in Bilth and start spending bank holidays in Borchester instead. Not before time, I have to say, but will that be it for Jazza, or will he get itchy feet, or indeed itchy anything else, if he tries to stay put? And moving on slightly, is this potential job opportunity for George going to be his full debut, do we think? Have we heard George speak yet? I know I haven't, but you lot might have.
No.
Might George be my Archer's bar mitzvah, so to speak? We've now moved on to Lee not wanting to be boring. Good God, man, it's a bit late for that. Lee has kids of his own, right? I couldn't tell you who they are or how old they are, not least because I tend to nod off whenever he's speaking, but I'm pretty sure I remember Harriet and Lucy mentioning them here and there.
Yes.
How has Lee got them this far without developing a sixth sense about which things are definitely bad ideas for kids, though? I'm starting to think his brain might be as smooth and shiny as his Ken doll underpant region. Ooh, and I'd like to take a moment to brag about my Archer's chops. by saying that I knew beyond any shadow of doubt that Helen was going to say she'd invited Joy over for drinks. And why wouldn't she? If I lived next door to Joy, I'd have her over for drinks every night.
Oh, God.
It does sound a bit like Joy thinks she's dropped a bollock by mentioning this Beechwood WhatsApp group, although I'm not sure why. You only see conversations from the moment you join them, right? Mm-hmm. Perhaps Joey doesn't know that and is worried what Lee is going to see if she adds him. 17 people asking, who's the dickhead in the white trainers? Right, I'm trying to figure out what Emma's relationship to Mia is here. I think they're only related by marriage, right?
Yep.
Emma's a Carter and Mia's not even an actual Grundy. Her mother, Nick, who was referenced last week, is brown bred now and married Will after Mia was born anyway.
Yep.
So that would make Mia Emma's step-niece by marriage?
Yes.
Pretty tenuous in any event, so now I'm more confused than I was about why Emma seems so keen to break up this conversation between Mia and Rory. Also, mad props to Rory, who's just uttered the most perfect piece of slacktivism I think I've ever heard. I worry about the environment. We've got to do all we can. Here's another question about Rory while we're at it. If Adam and Ian don't know whether he's gay, then Rory's bisexuality obviously isn't common knowledge. Who does, though? And how do we know, more to the point? I guess he's just had relationships with both sexes, but who? Who the hell is Troy? Did Rory get swept up with Stephanie and Freddie, maybe? And why doesn't Ian want to talk to Rory about his sexuality? Is it just that he'd rather Rory came to them than then to him? Or is there more to it than that? And who is Glenn, for goodness sake? Blimey, this 3-minute scene has thrown up enough questions for a whole podcast. Adam's really, really bad at this older brother stuff as well, by the way.
Yep.
I'm sure he thinks his dinner table conversation with Rory is lit or on fleek or whatever it is we're calling it these days. But for Rose, it must be like being cuddled up to by Jacob Rees-Mogg. Let Ian handle this stuff, please, Adam. Oh, right. Apparently, Emma was just annoyed by Mia's environmania because she doesn't seem to have the slightest problem with Rory. And actually, this conversation between her and Mia about boys is really quite sweet. I suppose Mia doesn't have a mother figure other than Clary, who's been married to Eddie for so long that the only advice she'd have for a young lady who's stepping out would involve how to fill out a dance card and petticoats. Everybody thinks they're in love when they're 15. For Mia, it's Rory. For me, talking of teenagers getting frisky, is Tracy suggesting a spot of heavy petting al fresco with Jazza here? Please, God, let there be no sound effects. After last week's kissing trauma, the sounds of Jazza sticking his hand down Tracy's yoga pants might just be enough to put me off the Archers for life. Because it's Jazza and Tracy, they've managed to turn a hot date into a hot and indeed wet mess. On one hand, it's a little frustrating because I thought we'd got past this on again, off again stuff. But on the other hand, no flirting. Phew. I've only met him briefly, but Will seems quite nice.
No!
It's a slightly odd relationship between him and Mia, though. She calls him Will, for starters. And there doesn't seem to be much of a father-daughter relationship between them. This conversation is very lovely, but I don't get the feeling that it happens very often. Is Mia essentially making her own way in the world? Poor kid. Oh, goody. We're back with Alice again, and she's drunk and bringing a man home? Who the hell is this? Calvin? This isn't a character, is it? This is a one-night stand for both Alice and the listeners, I think. Did this happen a lot? I don't think there have been any other throwaway characters since I started listening. Jade woke and then went back to sleep, hopefully forever, but that's it. I get the feeling that this is all coming to a head now and that Alice, one way or another, is going to have to go away for a while, or forever even. But I'm almost glad to say, not before she's let Brian have it with both barrels, and with Jennifer standing beside him, what's more. I'll tell you what, Hollywood's got nothing on this. Eat truth, Brian.
Hey!
Eat truth and cake.
There was a really bad edit in there because I was laughing.
Because you were going to put an advert in it?
No,
oh.
Because Mr. Newbie said that when he was 15, his...
I thought that was deliberate.
Bit of a whoop. No, because it was him saying that he genuinely thought he was in love with Debbie Gibson when he was 15.
Oh, I thought it was funnier that We didn't ever find out who he was in love with. I thought that was his comedy timing.
It was deliberate, but also he was in love with Debbie Gibson. And he gave an email address for Debbie Gibson to contact him on.
Debbie Gibson's email address.
No, he used this podcast's email address, which is abridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. And he gave the wrong email address, so I was unable to include his email address. So Debbie Gibson will now never be able to get in touch with him.
Well, unless she's listening. And Debbie, you could just email ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. If
should
you could give
you
us a shout out.
A relationship with a panting middle-aged man. Yeah.
tinkling
middle-aged man. We haven't actually heard from Lee's girls ever. We've just heard about them, and they're big fans of Helen.
No, and clearly haven't seen Helen since that first time,
because she's just subsumed Lee.
Maybe they'll be invited to the wedding if they ever
maybe
wed.
They won't mention it. Who knows?
Probably not. No. Yeah, they've been written out by them.
Rory told Ben he was a bisexualist. That's how. that's how we found out. We haven't met Troy, much as I'd like to, because he sounds a lot of fun.
Because he's called Troy.
Glenn, I think, is
who
Ian's
is
brother.
I just assumed it must be Ian's dad. Yeah, I didn't know
there was
know
some
that.
Issue over, I think it's either Ian's brother or Ian's, no, because he said your dad and Glenn or something. And I think there was, because over the wedding, Brian said he wasn't going to come, and then he did come.
Oh, yeah.
Ian's dad said he wasn't going to come, and then he did come. And
yeah.
And Will seems nice, but that is because next week we'll find out that Will has now found out it was Rory that blew Mia out, and Will will go around there with a sawn-off shotgun and try and blow his head off. So, yes.
No, because also Will was nice. He will have been nice then, and then he would have gone and got beaten by Jake on the Xbox again and really lost it.
Yeah. And then he'll spend the next week apologising. And then he'll do it again.
And regretting it.
Yep. Yeah. I just wanted to say, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I thought about it now. I know you're dead and everything.
And then he'll blame Ed.
Yeah.
And then he'll blame Emma for Jake. It's just, he needs to let some stuff go.
He really does. Oh, yeah. What's he actually doing now for a job? I mean, not that I care, but what is he doing?
Well, I was going to say he's still gatekeeping, but he never did that anyway, did he? There was never
gates.
A gatekeeper.
Goats? Goats.
No, because didn't basically he was a game keemer. Hi, guys. I'm really good at voiceovers.
He made goat keema. That was delicious. If anyone's never tried
like
it.
Like kefir, but creamier. No, so he was a gamekeeper.
Yes.
But then did he have to give it up when he nearly shot everybody?
Yes, he did.
He basically couldn't handle a gun anymore because he was going to shoot himself with it. So he gave up gamekeeping.
Don't tell me he's doing tractor work, which they always talk about glibly when...
Oh, God. Well, I think when they need the agricultural editor to do something, they ask what job Will could do, and then she suggests something... And they
it's like cold
give her 50
farm.
Quid.
He's scrattling the wronglets. Is he? Okay, good, fine.
I mean, you don't get big shunting. Oh, God, I literally can't speak. Shunting, hooting, partying, parties,
shunting,
farting,
hooting.
Wafting.
Shunting, hooting, and fatting.
Doing all that. Because Jenny can't make them any big pies anymore for their lunch. That's all out the window.
Yep.
Old ye olde days.
Yep.
So don't know is the answer. I wish Nick hadn't died. That was a bad decision.
What, to die?
Because, yeah.
It wasn't that much of a decision, really. It was an accident.
It was that sepsis awareness stuff, which is all very good.
She was a victim of the press office. The press office killed her.
And actually, it would have been really nice to have, because she was a really... sweet character, and it would have been lovely to have her and Will still together, and because they were such a good odd couple, weren't they, in a way?
They were, you know, but they need to have single parent families so that you can get them all together, and then the stepchildren can hate the parents, and that's lots of lovely arguing, and then a reconciliation, and then, you know.
Oh, yeah, but Nick could have had an affair with someone, couldn't she? Like
Will would have shot her. Can you imagine? That would have been dreadful.
But that would have been a better storyline.
Okay.
Let's face it.
Yes.
Maybe the shot wound could have given her sepsis instead of a nail or whatever it was on Joe's picture
frame. You never like anybody dying or leaving. If it was up to you, Ambridge would be the size of Newcastle because nobody would ever leave or die. There'd just be hundreds and thousands of people in this village. Now we need to go to Ambridge itself.
Oh, sorry. Yes, of course. Sorry. Forgot we've got stuff to do. This is what we get paid for, Lucy.
This is why we get the big money.
And now we go to Ambridge itself, where Clary is getting some HR advice.
Oh, here we are, Jeff. It's Mrs. Grundy again today. Which one, though? Is it the scary one in the crop top? Oh, no, this is the older lady, I think.
Hello, love. I've just popped in as I'm struggling a bit at work.
Oh, that's fine. Lots of us are finding it difficult to cope.
Oh, now I can cope. You haven't lived with my Eddie for 40 years without building up a bit of resilience. No, I mean, I've got this new girl started at work and I've got to give her an onboarding and a 360. I mean, what on earth are they? Helen's suddenly gone all professional. We've ticked along perfectly happily for years with me and Susan dropping bits of hobnob in the Greek yogurt. If either of us had a problem, we'd just have a Barney and stop speaking to each other for a bit. But you can't do the take-a-break crossword by yourself, so we'd have to start speaking again. But now, apparently, I've got to give this girl goals and targets and a mission statement. The only mission I can think of so far is make the yogurt and put the yogurt in the pot and don't drop the yogurt. But now Ellen subscribed to Personal Today and she's banging on about performance improvement plans and all that rubbish. What is a 360 review?
HR isn't really what I'm here for, but it is when people above you and below you and on your level all tell you what they think of you.
That can't be right. When our Emma does that, it causes all sorts of trouble.
Well, yes, I mean, you do it in a professional way. How are they like to work with? Are they responsive? Are they efficient? All that stuff.
Well, Kirsty's not responsive. She has her headphones in most of the time listening to documentaries about Somalian warlords. I try to talk to her about Strictly. Nothing. And she's not very nice to work close to either. She uses natural deodorant, if you see what I mean. And she has other problems. She has bean salad for lunch every day. I don't call her Windy Miller for nothing.
Is this something you could raise with Helen, is it, your manager?
No, not really. She's a bit funny. Wound so tight, you'd think her head's gonna pop off half the time. It wasn't like this in her mother's time. Pat was a lot more relaxed. None of this hairnet stuff. We never washed our hands half the time. I'd come straight from plucking the turkeys and up to me elbows in the raspberries in no time.
Oh, God.
Oh, it gave it body. Anyway, they reckon bacteria's good for you now, don't they?
Well, I think it depends what sort of bacteria.
Well, that's just snobbery. Anyway, you don't sound like you're any clearer than me on what I'm supposed to be doing with her.
Well, managing people is difficult.
Eh?
I said managing people is hard.
You mean I'm a manager?
Well, yeah. She reports to you, doesn't she? This crusty lady.
I'm a manager? I never realised. Susan's gonna be furious. A manager? Do you think I should get a badge? I think I'll ask if I can have exclusive use of the loo as management. Kirsty can use the emergency bucket. Fancy that. Do you know, I think I'll just pop in and see Susan. Let her know. Tell her about my team and my promotion. I might just give her a 360 while I'm at it. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Nice to see you, Mrs. Grundy. Jeff, you know that yogurt we got from the farm shop? Bin it, will you? So, that's that. There'll be another podcast up next week, so subscribe to us on iTunes and you'll never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, especially if you're Debbie Gibson, you can email Ambridgeonthecouch.
Ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
And we are at On Ambridge on Ambridge. Twitter. Or you can follow Mr. Newbie.
Mr. Newbie.
On Twitter at Newbie Couch.
Couch. And in the meantime, it's goodbye from all of us. And have a lovely week.
And have a lovely week if you're Adam.
Have a lovely week, Ian.